America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And this evening, our guest is William H. Kennedy, who's written a book on satanic crimes. He has another book carried in the past called Lucifer's Lodge. It goes into the homosexuality in the Catholic Church. Now, William is coming from the traditional Catholic point of view. So when he talks about the problems within the Catholic Church, he's talking about it from the point of view of a Catholic who is extremely upset and, of course, trying to get his church straightened out. And, of course, as far as the satanic crimes, he recognizes that there really is a spiritual battle going on, and that there really are people who've given themselves over to the dark side, and that many of the major serial killers of the last 20 or 30 years have been involved in various satanic cults, and there's been an organized, orchestrated effort by many people within the high positions in government and law enforcement to cover up the fact that David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, was part of a satanic cult. And although he admitted to several of the crimes, that he didn't commit all of the crimes, and there was no way they were going to go after the rest of the members of his satanic cult. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to understand the true nature of what we're up against. And the same thing would hold true for the Manson killings. Certainly there were strong ties to something called the Process Church of the Latter-day Judgment. And most Americans have never heard of the Process Church. And, of course, they had many branches. But, well, I'm going to let William Kennedy tell you a lot more about it, because he knows a lot more than I do. William, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me back on Radio Liberty, Dr. Stan. It's always great to be here. And people can take a look at my products at williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com. They can get both my books in e-book, and they can get a bound copy of Satanic Crime. But why they're there, when they go to williamhkennedy.com, I would like everyone to check out my Satanic Crime multimedia page. I've put up all the best material from YouTube, Google Video, Yahoo Video, about Satanism on the net. And what I did is I tied this into the chapters of my book, Satanic Crime. So like you mentioned David Berkowitz earlier, if you go to williamhkennedy.com, go to the Satanic Crime multimedia page, you can watch the Unsolved Mysteries episode on David Berkowitz featuring Maury Terry for free. And the book and my Satanic Crime multimedia page complement each other, so you can read a chapter from the book on David Berkowitz, and then you can go watch a 40-minute documentary. So it's really worth people's time to just to even take a look at the free material on my site at williamhkennedy.com.
And, of course, you have some excellent footage there that was snuck at a great personal risk, taking a great personal risk of the skull and bone ceremony, where these men who would one day lead America are there kneeling before a satanic-like figure. Why would they do that? Is this all just make-believe? Is it just a college prank? Well, I know when the president and John Kerry were both asked that question by Tim Russert before the last election. Both of them replied, "We can't tell you about Skull and Bones. It's so secret, we can't talk about it." Will you pick up the story there, William?
Well, as you were saying, Dr. Stan, my Satanic Crime multimedia page at williamhkennedy.com, what you can see there is I have all the footage that has been taken of the Skull and Bone Society, which was a fraternity at Yale, which was founded in 1832 and has produced some of the most powerful men this country has ever seen, including people like William F. Buckley, Henry Stimson, who was a Secretary of War during World War II.
Don't forget McGeorge Bundy.
McGeorge Bundy.
Was responsible for that great victory at the Bay of Pigs
and getting us into
Vietnam. And, of course, remember Skull and Bones. And, of course, he wanted to keep us in Vietnam because, of course, he understood Vietnam was never an effort to defeat communism. It was a great diversion as we began to transform America from a free into society into a socialist society. And he says as much in the January 1967 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, where he says, "We're in the middle of a great social revolution." He should have said socialist revolution. If you read the article too very carefully, you'll find this one about Vietnam was never fought to defeat communism. There was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. It was all phony. We killed 58,000 American boys there as a diversion so the American people would not see that they were transforming America. And while our people were watching the flag-draped coffins return and the weeping widows and weeping wives and family, why, they were very quietly changing our laws, taking God and prayer out of our schools, changing our immigration laws, you know, finding women had a right to an abortion, centralized all power in Washington, D.C., introducing the welfare state and Medicare and Medicaid and government support of housing. We were becoming a socialist society, and we were so busy watching what was happening with one hand, we didn't see what the magician was doing with the other hand.
That's very true, Dr. Stan, and what you have to keep in mind is that the people who are at the top of our power structure pyramid are involved in satanic groups like the Skull and Bones. For example, George W. Bush, as you said, is a Skull and Bonesman, but he's also a member of another group in California called the Bohemian Grove, which was founded in 1872, and all sorts of people belong to that. Art Linkletter, Walter Cronkite, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
A lot of them really didn't understand it, but a few of them really do. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William was talking about the Bilderberg, pardon me, the Bohemian Grove in California. A lot of men have joined this, not all necessarily bad men. Richard Nixon was a member of the Bohemian Grove, and certainly we know from the White House tapes, he despised this. But he went there because this is where the men with power were, and he reveled in being around men with power. And, of course, that's how he was able to get where he was. And But he recognized that he didn't necessarily approve of some of the things that went on there, but he was willing to compromise everything for power. He himself was a man without principle, but of course he wanted to be the president of the United States, and he was willing to sacrifice everything, including all the boys we set to die in Vietnam for nothing, and then to leave the boys behind, probably somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 of them, and then to lie to the American people about it. I could forgive him for Watergate, I could forgive him for everything, but I could never forgive Richard Nixon for betraying those brave men who went over to seize the fight for freedom and then were betrayed by Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon.
They're horrible men, and Henry Kissinger is also a member of the Bohemian Grove. And when you consider that these men dress up in Ku Klux Klan type regalia, you know, hoods, and they carry torches, and they do a bizarre ritual around an owl god. They have this huge carved owl, and they perform a mock human sacrifice of care. They call their human sacrifice care, and what they're doing is they're symbolically destroying their compassion for the rest of humanity and uniting in a bid to control the political and economic destiny of the human race. And these are the men who do have that sort of power. Now, there was a big story in 2004. You mentioned Nixon said that the Bohemian Grove was a homosexual organization with a different set of values. He used much harsher language. But it turns out in 2004, the Bohemian Grove actually hired a gay porn star named Chad Savage to work there for their two-week meeting that they have there once a year. And the Bohemian Grove, when they were confronted about it, they didn't deny that this person was working there. So what are these top-level men doing hiring hardcore gay porn stars for their two-week gathering? That's bizarre. He could make a lot of money doing other things, other places. What's he going where these all these middle-aged men are? Very suspicious, very strange organization. And we have to keep in mind that so many power brokers are part of it, it becomes mind-boggling. Jimmy Carter is a Bohemian Grove member. Unbelievable. Ronald Reagan was a Bohemian Grove member. Nixon, not only Nixon, he didn't like the Bohemian Grove, but he went to Gene Dixon, who was a soothsayer. He used to take the advice of psychics. So Richard Nixon was actually a very bizarre occult kind of man when you really look at what he was willing to do to get and maintain power. He turned to the dark side as quickly as he could, and that's one aspect of Nixon that has not been covered in all these books that look at his character. But I'm sort of looking at that, and you can see a photograph of Nixon at my Satanic Crime multimedia page at williamhkennedy.com. It's free to look at. You can also see the Alex Jones film of who, a man named Alex Jones snuck into the Bohemian Grove and filmed their secret bizarre ceremony a few years ago, and you can see that for free at the Satanic Crime multimedia page. So you can actually witness the bizarre rituals that our leaders at the top of our economic and political pyramid actually undertake as a means to bond with each other to control, the destiny of the 6 billion human beings on this planet. And there's only a handful of them, and they have an immense amount of power, and they're also involved in bizarre satanic rituals. And that's very disturbing when you consider that the kind of economic clout these people actually really, really have. It's quite frightening that they're involved with these things, and they also decide how the means of production and products are distributed in the world. It becomes a frightening sort of thing, Dr. Stan. So you can actually refresh, and if you know about this, or review all of this information at the Satanic Crime multimedia page at williamhkennedy.com. This is all free stuff. You can see a free full one-hour documentary on the life of Aleister Crowley, the British Satanist who died in 1947.
One of them was part of British intelligence. Of the
yes, he was
the
33rd
Mason.
Yeah, and he was also the impetus behind the modern Wicca and witchcraft movement. And I also have a witchcraft and crime page, and there you can see that people like Gerald Gardner and Alex Sanders and Sybil Leake were actually very vicious people who practiced hexing and black magic along with their nature earth religion. They weren't very nice people. Laurie Cabot, the official witch of Salem, Massachusetts, got in trouble with the police for holding a gun to her housemate's head, and the police there took her pistol license away. When the police came to arrest Laurie Cabot's daughter for child abuse, she put a satanic hex on them, a black magic hex. So you hear about all this Wicca and witchcraft and, you know, tolerance for the earth, but when you look at the leaders of these groups, these are just sick, sadistic people who are out to, you know, have people use spiritual forces to harm each other. Sybil Leek wrote a book of curses, which also includes death curses. So these people aren't the Mother Nature, love the earth, rainbow people. They're very nasty, and there's something very ugly and satanic behind what they're doing. They're hiding behind this Gaia Earth religion. In reality, their leadership are a bunch of Satanists who are in the bizarre sex rituals. That's the bottom line. There's no really other way to describe what they are. And you can see this stuff on my witchcraft and crime page there at williamhkennedy.com. And as I say, this is all free. You can actually see a segment of one of Crowley's bizarre rituals there. I've got all sorts of information about the Freemasons, the Rosicrucian group in San Jose, how they are ultimately a satanic group when you trace their lineage back. The Church of Scientology is strongly linked to Aleister Crowley. So a lot of these cults and things you hear about today actually trace back to Aleister Crowley. It's quite amazing. And if people do nothing else, go to williamhkennedy.com, hit the Satanic Crime Multimedia page, and watch the documentary Masters of Darkness about Aleister Crowley, and you'll be shocked at how influential this man really was.
Who put that documentary out, do you recall?
It was made in Britain by Channel 4, and it was in a series called Masters of Darkness. You can see it free at williamhkennedy.com at the Satanic Crime Multimedia page. It's the first listing there. And it's excellent. It features Colin Wilson, the occult historian, so it's very, very accurate and an excellent portrayal of this truly evil man.
And, of course, Alfred Kinsey, our sex expert here, you know, 1940s, had such a profound impact on our sex education and the alteration of our sexual mores in the United States. Kinsey was a disciple of Aleister Crowley.
Sure. And, I mean, one of the people that Kinsey filmed in bizarre sexual poses was Kenneth Anger, who was one of Aleister Crowley's chief American disciples. He was also the co-founder of the Church of Satan. So all of this sex study they did way back then had a strong occult and satanic element, even to the point of filming Satanists in sexual positions.
So, I think what's so significant that is our listeners have to understand that these people were behind the sex education in our schools. Why? Because they want to focus the attention of our young people on sex. I mean, you don't have to teach people about this. You don't have to teach anyone about it. Their normal responses is only the animals understand it. You don't have to teach human beings about it. But by teaching them, why, you remove the modesty, you remove the embarrassment, and you actively encourage promiscuity. And they knew exactly what they were doing. And then once you took God and prayer out of our schools, what you in effect did was teach young people, you have to decide, since there are no standards of right and wrong, you decide what is right and what is wrong. And they then adopt the idea of Aleister Crowley, who said, do what thou wilt, that is the whole of the law. Our schools become training grounds for Crowleyism, because the only two basic philosophies, either there is a God and we obey his commandments, or we fear God and keep his commandments, we obey God and keep his commandments, or we do what we want to do. And that's what we're teaching our young people to do. And then we wonder why we have the problem today, why we have 7 million Americans who are either in prison, probation, or parole, why we see the crime growing across our nation, why we see armed gangs sitting in many areas of our country, in areas of the cities where the police are afraid to go. And believe me, this is just the beginning. We're entering a period of chaos and crisis because we're involved in a spiritual battle, and most people have no idea what's going on. Certainly they're not learning this in their churches. We don't even really talk about the dark side in our churches. Oh, no, we've changed the nature of God. God loves everybody. God would never punish anybody. A loving God would never send anybody to hell. There is no hell. There's no punishment. There's no judgment. In fact, we really don't even need a Savior. Everything's going to be just hunky-dory. And I think there's an awful lot of people. One day, they're going to wake up and find out they've been lied to. They've been lied to by our leaders and many times in our churches. Well, William, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, you have to keep in mind that our contemporary situation is very, very bizarre.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
The Cho shooting there at Virginia Tech and other the mass murders we've seen to the satanic is very, very obvious. But the media is not going to tell you. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to understand the true nature of our battle, which is a spiritual battle that's being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, certainly educational battlefield. They want you to just think that these are all wackos. No, they're not wackos. Basically, they're two religions of the world. There's Christianity, and Judaism on one side, and then there are all the satanic religions on the other side in one form or another. And you're going to have to decide which side you're on. There's really no neutral position here to take. And you're either going to have to follow God and obey His commandments and love God and obey His commandments and fear God and keep His commandments. Or you're going to have to go ahead and do what you want to. And that, of course, is the major thrust now. It's the major thrust of something called The Secret, which is being widely circulated by Rhonda Burns with the support of Oprah Winfrey, who's featured it not once but twice, the book, the DVD, certainly people like Larry King, Jim Carrey, Jack Canfield of Chicken Soup for the Soul fame, and many of certainly writers are saying, look, this is the way it is. All you have to do is learn how you can manipulate the entire universe through your mind. Your mind, it gives you the ability to do anything you want to do. You can become certainly the most dominant force in the world. In fact, as Rhonda Burns said, henceforth, when I refer to you, I will always use a capital Y, because you are God. And that's what it's all about. And you say, that's crazy talk. No. I mean, millions of people are adopting it. The idea has been around for 5,000 years, been passed down through the ages. It's the basis of Rosicrucianism. It's the basis of Masonry. It's the basis of the Illuminati. It's the basis of the religion of the Templars and the Gnostics. And then, of course, who the real God is that you follow. And it's Lucifer. It's quite obvious that they believe that there is another God. And they believe we're following the wrong God because he restricts what we do. And Lucifer gives you absolute freedom. He doesn't have any Ten Commandments telling you what you can't do. He gives you total freedom. Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. Once you understand that this is what's going on, you're going to understand why they're taking us into these terrible wars that lie ahead and the terrible crises that lie ahead, because God is going to withdraw His blessing from this country. He's already in the process of doing it. And most people can't even see that the hand of God is being withdrawn because of the sin of our leaders and because our people are not have the courage to speak out. They'd rather simply go along and get along. And so I think that what William Kennedy has done, you need to understand there is another side. And it involves some of the key people in government. In fact, certainly, maybe we could touch even on the pedophile ring over there in Europe that ties into the Bilderberger group. And of course, the Bilderbergers met just this last week or so over in Turkey, and all of our major leaders were there. I mean, the usual people, the Kissingers, the Rockefellers, and the leaders of our banks and our major universities and our major newspapers were there meeting with the capitalists of Europe and the power brokers of Europe and the royalty of Europe and the Bilderbergers. And what's the relationship between the pedophile rings and the Bilderbergers?
Well, Dr. Stan, the relationship can be summed up with one name, Mark Dutroux. Mark Dutroux was a serial killer and a child abductor and a child rapist. What Mark Dutroux did, he was arrested in the mid-1990s. He would go around and kidnap children for a rich group of pedophiles who are also members of the Bilderberg group.
And, Chris, this was all brought out in the European press, totally suppressed in the American press. They wouldn't want you to know because, Chris, we had similar groups here. That was the Franklin story, the Franklin cover-up, going right up to Washington, D.C. right out of Boys Town there in the Midwest. Boys Town. We used to contribute to Boys Town. And, of course, they'd take the boys from Boys Town and take them to Washington, D.C. for entertainment. And, well, you can imagine what else. We'll be back here in just a moment or two with William H. Kennedy. Well, William, what do you say to people who say, I really don't want to hear about that sort of thing. It just makes me feel bad. I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on good things.
Well, you know, that's a big problem, Dr. Stan, and that's where you see, like in that book, The Secret, you mentioned earlier, that is a very diabolical book because that does two basic things. There's one thing you have to remember, Dr. Stan, to a great extent, we are what we think. If we think we're successful and focused people, we will soon become focused and successful. That's one of the big truths that all of these personal development and self-help programs work. But this book, The Secret, this goes in another direction because you very quickly start blaming other people who have problems and you start using their problems as excuses to exploit them. Like the alcoholic is an alcoholic because he thinks he's that way and he deserves to be that way. And, you know, if you can exploit this person for money, go right ahead because they're kind of in the wrong. It's a blame and exploit the victim kind of thinking in this book, The Secret. And a lot of these personal development programs that are out there that are like this, they have a lot of those sorts of, I call them ruthless elements, but they also have a lot of occult and metaphysical undertones to them that you don't see quite there. Like Brian Tracy's another one, and like Silver Mind Control, that turns out to be a form of remote viewing and ESP. So I warn people against a lot of these personal development programs, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of them. I kind of love to experiment with them. But one thing I've discovered is many of them are dangerous, and this secret that you mentioned, and I'm glad you brought it up, Dr. Stan, I was looking to say something about that. Keep away from that. Avoid it like the plague. It will bring you nothing but misery, because when you start exploiting other people's misery, misery will eventually find its way to you in a very harsh form, eventually one way or another. So keep away from that and keep away from things that have that selfish kind of thinking in them. They're very dangerous on a lot of levels, spiritual and material and psychological. Keep away from them. You're better off, you know, with regular religion or with nothing at all than things like that, because that will take you down a very dark path.
Well, of course, what it is simply Rosicrucianism. And, of course, what most people don't know is if you actually watch the program frame by frame, the DVD, you see the word Rosicrucian being used in a subliminal manner. You don't see it, but it's there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, as I was pointing out to William Kennedy. If you were to watch the DVD, The Secret, and you were to watch it, not as you just see it on the screen, but frame by frame by frame, and we've actually have the pictures of that, you will find out that they use subliminal stimulation. In other words, they will flash on the screen just for one moment the word Rosicrucian, and it goes by so quickly most people don't even see it, but it's there. And everything you see is subconsciously recorded in your mind. And they're recording that in your mind because what this is, what The Secret is simply Rosicrucianism carried to its extreme. The ultimate secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years, that you are God. And you say that's crazy talk. But unfortunately, there are millions of people who are turning away from the God of the Bible and saying, look, I can do it. I've learned the secret. I can begin to manipulate the entire universe with my mind. And I have the ability to do it on my own. I don't need a God. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the older I get, the more convinced I am that we all need a God and a Savior. Well, William, before we go on, once again, I want you to get out the name of your website, the name of your book, and of course, we do carry your book, certainly the Satanic Crimes, and we have a great deal of other material on these subjects, because we think it is so vitally important, especially as we begin moving into this period of chaos and crisis, and of course, people have to understand what this is about, and you may not believe me now, but the time will come very soon when you're going to be able to begin to understand the true nature of this battle. So how can people get to your website? Tell them once again.
It's williamhkennedy.com, williamhkennedy.com, and you can get my book there, Satanic Crime, and my book, Lucifer's Lodge, as an e-book at williamhkennedy.com. But you can also get access to all this free Satanic Crime multimedia page that I've set up, which we discussed earlier, that covers a lot of cases of Satanism, and I've pulled together all the best stuff from the web as far as documentary films on Satanism go, and I've organized them and structured them as a way to follow the chapters of my book, Satanic Crime. But at least go take a look at this free Satanic Crime multimedia page at williamhkennedy.com, because it is really outstanding. There's no better page on Satanism on the web. It has hours and hours of free films, and they're organized in a really specific way, so you can get a gist for what's going on in all different branches of Satanism, with film and photographs and articles and audio files. I mean, hours and hours and hours. You know, you can focus in on areas, you know, if you're interested in the Manson killings, you can go to that section, and there's lots of documentary films there. Richard Ramirez, I have the A&E biography special with Philip Carlo, the foremost authority on Richard Ramirez. You can watch that full documentary, williamhkennedy.com. It's free. So I really, really want to get this information out there. And it's great if you buy the book, but at least check out this free stuff, because it will really boggle your mind. I've got stuff there that no one else really has or has in connection with other sorts of forms of Satanism. And I lay it all out. I did a really good job. I took a long time to do this, and I'm constantly updating it. So if you visited it before, come back again, because things go constantly up and down on the internet, and sometimes when something goes down, I will always replace it, but many times I replace it with something better. Something might better come on, like YouTube or something. So always go back and check, even if you've been there before, because there's new stuff all the time. It's really great. It's a work in progress, and there's a nice flux to it. So check it out, williamhkennedy.com, the Satanic Crime multimedia page. You will really enjoy yourself. It's a feast for the mind, and check it out. You won't regret it.
Now, you did know Father Malachi Martin, didn't you?
Yes, Father Malachi Martin was a friend of mine. He originally contacted me by telephone in 1995 through our mutual friend, Dr. Rama Kimura Swami, and we met in January of 1996. And it's very odd, because he told me that Cardinal Bernard Law of Boston was running a pedophile ring, and that some of these pedophiles were Satanists. This was Malachi Martin telling me this back in 1996. And at the time, I really didn't believe him. Now, I remained in close contact with Malachi the last few years of his life. I would call him, or he would call me, about once a month, until he started to get sick, and around 1998, 1999, he stopped taking calls because he had a series of heart attacks. But I spoke with him for a couple years there monthly, and we discussed all sorts of topics, and he passed away in 1999. And in 2002, the Boston Globe broke a story that confirmed what Father Martin said. Bernard Law of Boston was in fact running a pedophile ring, and Over the next year and a half, I started to collect these stories about pedophile Catholic priests who were also involved with ritual abuse. And I put together all of these stories in my first book called Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church, which came out in 2004. Now, I'm just finishing a Lucifer's Lodge documentary film, which will be ready September 1st, 2007. It's in the can now. I got a director's cut, and I'm just going to do some legal and technical stuff with the film. But this will be a full-length film documentary, which will chronicle all of the major cases of satanic ritual abuse that occurred in the priest crisis since 2002. This includes people like Paul Shanley. This includes people like Gerald Robinson, who was just sent to prison in Toledo, Ohio, for murdering a nun in a ritual in 1980. I got Father Chet Warren in there, who used to sexually abuse girls in a coffin in satanic rituals. I have Father Sean Fortune in the film, who used to threaten his detractors with satanic hexes. So this Lucifer's Lodge documentary will really stitch together all of the cases of pedophile Catholic priests who were also Satanists.
Well, I think, of course, a lot of us Protestants will smile and say, oh, boy, they got a real problem. But don't forget that Ted Haggard, who led the 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals, happened to be a closeted homosexual who was using his position to and the power of his position to undermine Christianity politically, and of course was also a cocaine addict. You know, so we've got this permeating every aspect of the church today. People have to understand that there's an effort to destroy Christianity from within.
Well, that's very true, Dr. Stan, and you have to consider that the bishops and the cardinals of the Church of Rome were well aware of what all these pedophiles were doing, and you even get groups like the Jesuits and the Franciscans who have been transferring pedophiles internationally. In other words, if a pedophile priest gets caught in France, the church merely transfers him to some place like Argentina, where he starts molesting children again. And these pedophiles crisscross the globe. And it's very bizarre, because sometimes they can use Vatican passports and Vatican IDs and slip through on diplomatic passports and things of that nature. So this pedophile crisis is global, and it is frightening when you consider that the Roman Catholic Church is actually the largest organization in the world. It has over 1 billion members. It's larger than any country or government or organization out there. It's also the most globally expansive organization in the world. It goes to more countries and regions than the United Nations or the World Health Organization. So if you're looking for one single or well-oiled organization to corrupt, to control humanity on a global scale, the Roman Catholic Church is the ideal organization.
But I think the thing that really worries me most, of course, is that a lot of the people of William are going to lose faith in the Christian message, because they see these men who they hold up as the representatives of God are being, of course, so evil and corrupt. And of course, that's the reason they're doing this. It is to destroy the faith of the people in the God who we should worship.
Oh, definitely so, Dr. Stan. This is just an undermining of our Judeo-Christian heritage here in the United States. And the primary example I can give people, and they can check this for themselves, just go down to your local Blockbuster Video and walk across the new releases aisle, which is usually on the walls of the store, and just see how many occult, satanic, and sexual images you are bombarded with. And you will be quite shocked. After you do that, go to the video game rental section of a Blockbuster Video and just look at the violent things that children go in there and rent. Violent and satanic and sexual things that we have our children play on video games, and you will be quite shocked. We are being saturated with diabolical, sexual, and violent images through our popular media in the name of free speech. And this is poisoning young people's minds. It's not healthy to see evil people murdering other people all the time, or to participate in a game where you, as a diabolical figure, slaughter innocent people in, you know, virtual reality. That's a sick thing to pump into a young person's mind. And of course we must have forms of censorship. None of us want an 8-year-old child to see a hardcore S&M pornographic film. Of course we ban that. And we must learn to start banning these other things like violent video games and satanic films. If people want to see those things, they should be allowed to, but they shouldn't be bombarded on all of us, you know? It's quite frightening, and it's very dangerous. I think this is a contributing factor to things like Columbine. It's not the ultimate factor, but it is a contributing factor. And we have to, as a society, ask ourselves what we want to put in our young people's heads.
Well, you know, I think we have to understand how censorship was carried out before Vietnam. And, of course, it was carried out at the state, usually at the local level. And we could, at the local level, ban these things, and the vice squad should go in. And then, of course, as they began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., they said, oh, no, the state can't do that. We'll do that at the federal level. Why, of course, we have found that nobody can censor anything except the federal government, and the federal government had no intention of censoring anything except maybe Christian speech and things like that. We have to get back to a decentralized form of government. When you centralize all power in government, that's where the Satanists will work. You want a decentralized government, it's much harder to control 50 state capitals than one national capital. It's much harder to control 50 state capitals than 10,000 local communities. We have to have the local community be able to set up community standards. And that is, of course, what the enemies of God, now those people who are pushing this sort of thing, do not want. And that's why Vietnam was so important. Because it was during Vietnam that they changed the meaning of the First Amendment. And they said, well, of course, the First Amendment says that you can't have any local censorship. Congress shall pass no law respecting establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof, nor abridging the right of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of assembly. And what that really means is the local community can't do anything. And while our boys were dying in Vietnam for absolutely nothing, these wicked people, long-term planners, I'll have to give them the benefit, they're pretty smart, were centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., and taking away from the local community the ability to do just what William is saying, and that is to be able to ban this sort of corruption to keep it out of the minds of the people. Because it is really like a cancer. It begins to grow and become an obsession. And you talk to mass killers like Ted Bundy, who talked to Dr. Dobson before he died, and he talked about how these ideas of pornography, which he had read, of course, would obsess him. He was a very brilliant fellow. But, of course, the battle he was fought in his mind, he was losing it because, of course, there was no ability on his part to counter this. There was no fear of God there. There was no realization. Well, he knew what he was doing was wrong. But, of course, the satanic obsession simply gripped him. And the battle is really fought in our minds. And when we fill our minds with evil, why, of course, we will do evil things. When we fill our minds with dependence upon God and good things and his promise for our lives, why, we will do good things. And that's where the real battle is. And we're losing it because most people don't even know the battle's going on.
No, Dr. Stan, we're all dumbed down. We're made oblivious to what's going on around us. even if you mention things like President Bush kneeling before Satan at the Skull and Bone Society, well, we've been so bombarded with satanic images, just, you know, flip through your TV set and you'll find yourself, 1 minute you'll be watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Flip a few more channels and the show Charmed will be on. Flip a few more channels and you get Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Flip a few more channels, you get a rerun of the film The Craft. So, you know, all of these diabolical images are so familiar to us anyway that when you mention that to someone, it doesn't stun them because they've been fed so many of these images, they're just used to them. They don't shock them.
Don't forget Harry Potter. You know, we use that in our schools.
Oh, that's another one. It's just diabolical curses.
In fact, some of the churches use that. They think it's good entertainment. Keeps the kids entertained. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Potter was a witch, taking people into witchcraft, into this other dimension. And there is another dimension there. And, of course, that's the dimension where the demons are. And we live in one dimension, they live in another. It's about time we begin to understand what's really going on. And William Kennedy has done a great job. Let me recommend his website to you again, WilliamHKennedy.com. Well, William, got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I just want everyone out there to realize, just try and become aware of some of the satanic symbols around you. Think of what you want to fill your young people's minds with, and think of what you want to fill your own mind with. You can get a lot of resources at my page, WilliamHKennedy.com, and see films about many of the things we've discussed tonight. And I'd like to thank you, Dr. Stan, for having me on Radio Liberty once again. It's a wonderfully run program, and it's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and certainly our guest has been William H. Kennedy, his book, which we do carry. It's called Satanic Crimes. We'll give you tremendous insight into so much of what we're talking about. You need to understand this is not imaginary. We're heading into World War III. And I fear very much that we'll soon be involved with a war with the entire Muslim world. The implications of this are frightening. I think we'll have profound economic impact and on our way of life. I think we'll be used to justify removing all of our freedom. After all, once we go to war, why, we no longer can have a free society. We have to give up our freedom. You know, during this time of terrible crisis, as American boys are fighting and dying overseas, we have to back them by giving up our freedom here at home. Because if we don't give up our freedom, why, the wicked Osama bin Laden is going to take away our freedom. So we have to be willing to give up our liberty to be an effort to protect it. It's amazing what happens when you go into war. As someone once said, in war, the first casualty is the truth. But the battle is not a battle being fought in the Middle East, nor is it a battle being fought in the Near East. It has nothing to do with the Muslim world. The battle is not between the haves and the have-nots or against the communist conspiracy. This is a spiritual battle being fought for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And our job is to get you to understand that, and, of course, to prepare yourself for the difficult times that lie ahead. And I think that William H. Kennedy's information, it may not be pleasant, but it's something you need to know, you need to understand, and you need to help us get other people to understand. William, I hope that we can get lots of people going to your website and getting lots of hits.
I hope so, too, Dr. Stan, and thank you again.
Good night. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was William H. Kennedy, and let me just suggest you go to his webpage, get his information. It's great. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day and by internet or radio someplace, and then by shortwave and satellite. And but we're reaching more and more people all the time. And so we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. I think that we have certainly a unique message. I believe it's the true message. It took me 45 years to figure out what was going on. I'm a slow learner, but I hope I can transmit to you in a relatively short period of time an understanding of what's taking place. We carry certainly William H. Kennedy's book, Satanic Crimes. We carry Program to Kill, an excellent book. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the supernatural. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter. It's written by a man who was in Satanism and then came out, and of course he's gone all over the country trying to lecture to local sheriff's office and police forces about the satanic crimes. And there's a fellow from the FBI who comes out to try to tell people there's nothing to worry about. Why would the FBI do that? Because, of course, the FBI is part of the problem. And they actually have one man, and his job is to neutralize anybody who's trying to inform people about what's really going on in the world today. And, of course, there are many, many people in the police force who don't believe this, or many people in the police force who are involved, and they will do everything they can to cover this up, and you never know which it is. We have a four-tape set on Aleister Crowley. We have a four-tape set on... basically, we have a book on Aleister Crowley called Blood on the Altar. So much of it, information is available from Radio Liberty. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Get the information. Help us to get it out. Once you understand this aspect, you can understand why they're trying to destroy the minds of our children, why one in 90 boys in the United States today has autism, why one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality of some sort. They're simply destroying the minds of our children. You need to get our material on population control. You need to get our material on water fluoridation and how they're poisoning our children with water fluoridation. You need to understand the vaccination program and the fact it produces inflammation of the brain, and then about the time you start getting better from that, why they give you another series of shots. You need to understand that the incidence of Alzheimer's disease is increasing dramatically. And, of course, the government says, gee, we have no idea why it's happening. Of course they know why it's happening. They're poisoning our elderly with mercury. If you dissect a brain of somebody with Alzheimer's disease, they have four times the mercury that a normal brain does. Now, why do you think that is? Why, of course, you're getting your full mercury shot and the influenza shots they're telling you to take. They tell you that they removed the mercury from the childhood vaccines, but they still give it in the vaccines that they give to children. In other words, what they're doing is playing little games with you. The influenza vaccine doesn't do any good to the elderly, but they give it to them anyway. And of course, if you take three or four shots over a five-year period between 60 and 65, 10 years later, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease gone up 1,000%. 1,000%. 1,000%. And of course, they know exactly what they're doing. They know the mercury fillings are constantly venting mercury. They know its toxic effects on the brain. And not everybody is going to get Alzheimer's disease, but some people can't control the mercury and its utilization. And they're the ones, of course, that you'll see there in the nursing homes with that blank expression on their face. But there are too many people in the world. They might as well die of something. They might as well die of Alzheimer's disease. There are people who look at the world through different eyes. Our number 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty again, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, right now our guest is Ed Decker. And he comes from an organization known as Saints Alive. And Oregon, Ed is an expert on Masonry and on Mormonism and on the various cults. He spent many years, first of all, involved in them himself, and then of course, coming out and speaking and lecturing and writing on them. And, of course, this evening we're going to turn the... We're just going to sort of have a little different approach this hour. I want to preface this program this evening by saying that I never knew a Mormon I didn't like. I mean, the Mormons are wonderful, warm people. But unfortunately, they are trapped in a very strange religion that has nothing to do with Christianity. Because they believe that they can become God. That is the basics of the Mormon belief. And, of course, that is the belief that was what was whispered to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And, of course, the Mormon believes as Christ was, I am today, and as Christ is, I can become. And believe me, none of us are ever going to become gods. And because we could become a god, we don't need a savior. So with that as the background, Ed Decker, we're going to be talking about Mr. Romney tonight. And so, his run for the presidency and its implications. Ed, thanks so very much for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me, and I'm just delighted to be on the show tonight.
Well, I'm going to let you pick up the ball and run with it because you know this subject much better than I do.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. I just spent the whole day just researching, going through the Bible, and I've got the joy of having a large size computer memory and a Bible study program, and I spent a pretty good part of the day just looking at the things dealing with the nature of God. And you look at what the Bible says about God, that he is the only God, that he is above the heavens, that he spread out the heavens in the span of his hand. You discover that before the earth was, there was nothing, and that he spoke it into existence. And you begin to see all the many different scriptures over and over and over again, dealing with the giantness of our God and the fact that there is only one God. He says in Isaiah that he doesn't know any other ones, that he is the only God. There were no gods formed before him and no gods after him. And then I look at my situation with having spent 20 years of my life as a member of the Mormon Church, believing that not only were there many gods, but there were gods above our God and gods above that God, and that this earth, the plan for this earth, was formulated at a council of gods, and that there was no way for our God, the God of this earth, to create matter. So he had to reorganize matter. I guess he got the earth and the stars from some other galaxy and brought them here and put them together somehow. And this is very, very discouraging when you realize that people like Mitt Romney and a million other Mormons are intelligent people who have a bright scholarship and study and seek to serve God, and somehow or other they've been listening to with itching ears to false prophets.
The tragedy is they're such good kids, clean cut people. They're likable. They're hardworking. They got so much going for them, and they're doomed to hell.
I've spoken to Mormon leadership over the last 4 or 5 years. And
hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment with Ed Decker. Well, Ed, you go ahead and pick up the story there.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay, here we are. Well, I was going to say that I've spoken to Mormon leadership in the recent years and just saying all you have to do to step into orthodoxy is put aside the desire and the plan to become gods. That there is one God, the job is taken. We can never become gods. And yet the whole sequence of Mormon theology is built on the premise that we lived in another place as spirit beings, and we were sent to this earth to gain bodies so that we can be tested to earn our own godhoods, and that's the purpose of the church, is to help us to become gods and goddesses in our next life, and that our God, he was also a man who lived on another planet and was obedient to the gospel of Mormonism there. Well, they probably didn't call it Mormonism there, but the same gospel principles he obeyed and was found worthy and was exalted to godhood. And he lives with his many goddess wives on a planet near the great star Kolob, where they procreated spirit babies. And we grew in that society and then came to the earth to earn our godhood. Our brother Jesus, who is also the brother of Lucifer, the two eldest children of God, the two eldest sons of Elohim, the God on the planet near the great star Kolob. And they concocted a plan for this earth, and then we are in that process now. Jesus is not the Savior. As you said, if you're going to become a God, you don't need a Savior. And the only thing the Mormon Savior gives us is resurrection to be judged for our works. All mankind shall be resurrected because of Christ. And he could point the way, but the Mormon Jesus points the way through the temple to godhood. And when I look at Mitt Romney, who was a temple Mormon, he's a high priest, and as such, just as I did, he swore blood oaths of sacrifice, obedience, and consecration for the Mormon Church and for the soon coming of the long prophesied kingdom of God. The Mormons believe that Jesus is going to return to the earth at Independence, Missouri, but in order for him to return to this earth, that this earth has to become a theocratic earth, just as the Muslims believe that the house of peace shall consume the whole earth. The Mormons believe that this theocratic government shall begin in this country, that the Constitution will hang by a thread and be saved by the elders of the church, and that Mormon leadership will take over the reins. The prophet will come from Salt Lake to Washington, D.C., to the temple there, where the top floor has already been consecrated, the furniture is there now for the prophet to operate this theocratic kingdom, which must come to be in order for the Mormon Jesus to come back to earth.
All that stuff will be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ed is simply laying out the incredible beliefs, you know, that, first of all, that we are certainly here on earth. We were created in another planet. We were sent here to work out our godhood, and of course we are worthy, why we will become gods. They also believe, of course, that this is the purpose of life, is to become a god. They believe, of course, that the time will come when the Constitution that holds this country together will hang like a thread and will, of course, be saved by a Mormon, by the Mormon Church, by a Mormon prophet, and they're all prepared now to save the United States by bringing a Mormon president to power. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it is, and the money is pouring into his campaign. Tremendous amounts of money coming in, and it's coming in, quite a bit of it, through the Mormon Church and the Mormon leadership and the Mormon people who believe this is a fulfillment of prophecy. In the last days, there shall rise up this one mighty and strong man who will bring the power into the Mormon Church, and this is what's happening with Mitt. You got to realize that Mitt Romney has been in the temple. He's a high priest. He's sworn all these blood oaths of obedience and sacrifice. His oaths in the temple supersede the oaths that he'll take in office. And while he says it doesn't matter, it does matter. He wears under his regular clothing sacred undergarments that just astound me that I ever wore those things. Because on the markings on the breast, the navel, and the knee sewn in are occult talismanic markings that are sewn in that are actually the markings of Lucifer himself. And I say that knowing that people are shocked, but the fact is that in the Mormon temple, as we go through the rituals of the temple and the scenes of the creation of the earth and then the Garden of Eden and the teacher, the instructor in the Garden of Eden, one of the instructors is Lucifer, who tells them they must eat of the fruit of the tree in order to have the knowledge to become gods. And they take of the fruit of the tree. Adam turns to Lucifer, points to a Masonic apron that he's wearing, and he said, "What is that you're wearing?" And Lucifer says, "These," pointing to the emblems on it, "these are the emblems of my power and my priesthoods." Now the garment which Mitt Romney and all Temple Mormons received in the washing and the anointing room previously to this, in the same temple ritual, on that garment that you must wear and protect you, keep you protected and safe in your journey toward godhood, the markings are the markings of the emblems that are on Lucifer's apron. And he just told us in there, told Mitt Romney, that these markings are the emblems of his power and his priesthoods. And yet they're sewn in. And then later on in the ceremony, we stand at a white veil, and there is a man portraying the Lord on the other side, and the markings, the slits that are cut into the celestial curtain, the veil, are the same markings that are on my breast, navel, and knee, the same markings that are on, that Lucifer said are his emblems of his power and priesthoods. And as I put my arms through there, to the, I'm immersed in there, pressing the markings on my breast, navel, and knee, on the, using the Masonic 5 points of fellowship, you're up against there, knee, foot to foot, knee to knee, and breast to breast, and hand to back, and mouth to ear, and I whisper to the man portraying God, "This health in the navel, marrow in the bones, strength in the loins and in the sinews, power of the priesthood be upon me and upon my children to the and my children for all time and all eternity." And so I've asked that priesthood, the power of that priesthood that I've got, that I'm immersed in, to be upon me and on my children for all eternity. And it's the power of Lucifer. And these people are spiritually blind. The Bible says in Corinthians that these people are blinded, that the gospel is hid from them by the god of this world, the god of this age. The Mormons say they worship the god of this world. That's Lucifer.
And of course, they don't really understand the relationship between Mormonism and Masonry. What is the relationship between Mormonism and Masonry?
The Mormons, in fact, there's a book that's out right now, and I just sent away from it on Amazon. It's a Mormon apologist writing a book trying to explain that there, you know, that the differences between Mormonism and the connections between Mormonism and Freemasonry. The first five presidents of the church were Masons. The Mormon Masonic Lodge in Nauvoo, Illinois, was the largest in the region, and it became a clandestine lodge because of the fact that they were just raising people without going through the ritual. When they were kicked out of Masonry, that's when the first Mormon temple ritual came into being, and that's when they took Masonry. Joseph Smith said, "Even as I have restored true Christianity, I have restored true Masonry." And so the ritual in the Mormon temple is basically a manipulation and rewrite of the first three degrees, the Blue Lodge degrees of Freemasonry. The same handshakes, the same sign, the same penalties to have your throat slit from ear to ear, you know, having your breast ripped open, your heart ripped out, your belly ripped open. All these are the penalties in the Mormon temple. The signs and the handshakes and so forth are exactly the same as they are in Masonry.
And, of course, the thing is that Masonry is basically a throwback to the Gnostics' beliefs.
Absolutely. And, well, at first it's a Gnostic pagan religion, actually. They say it's not a religion, but it is a religion. It has an altar. There's prayers. They pray to the great architect of the universe, whom they describe as a three-headed deity named Jobulon, which stands for a combination of Jehovah, Baal, and Osiris. So they're messing around. The Mormons pick that up. They take it and they manipulate it into a more of a religious ceremony and decide that they're going to become gods and goddesses and that we have to learn to become gods like all gods before us. Mitt Romney is the man who would be God. And he's a man with satanic, talismanic, markings on his underwear. I don't want that man leading our nation.
But, of course, the thing is, do you think that Mitt Romney really understands the implications of what he's into? I mean, do you think the average Mason, average Mormon, has...
I'd like to excuse him, but I'm tired of excusing these people for being stupid.
Well, the thing is that you can excuse people for, you know, there's a difference between being stupid and being diabolical. And if nobody ever tells you, you know, what's really going on, it's so easy to get swept along with this. I mean, certainly he's got the nicest looking kids you ever saw. And I've suspected, you know, he's a very nice and, you know, very, very successful individual. And, you know, I've known so many Mormons during the years. And they were just delightful, sincere, dedicated, generous people.
Dr. Stan, the reason that I do what I've been doing for 30 years is because these people are going to hell.
And, of course, that's what we've got to tell them. We've got to convince them that they're on the wrong track.
But I think one of the scriptures that I think of more often than any when I'm dealing with Mormonism is Romans 1, when it says that because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. And God gave them up, it says.
What sort of results have you had ministering to Mormons as far as getting them out of the church?
Well, let me just say this about two things. I've had so much better luck with Masons than I have with Mormons. Because Mormons, there's a scripture, it's probably in Proverbs, it says that you can take a foolish man and grind him into powder, and he'll still be foolish, and he'll never change his mind. And I think that's what we're dealing with Mormons. There's a spiritual blindness that's upon them. And no matter how much you explain to them, they don't want to change. And they hold on to this. Part of it's the priestcraft involved, because each, you know, like Mitt Romney's a high priest, a temple Mormon high priest. And coming out of that power position is a very difficult thing. And to admit, you know, that, you know, I'm wrong, that to believe all this sort of stuff, to believe the Book of Mormon is a story about Jews who came to the Americas and were darkened because of their sin and turned into Indians, you know, things like that, that to have all these different things in your head and believe it all. There's an interesting thing that happens when I'm dealing with Mormons. I can take any single part of the Mormon theology and discuss it with a Mormon rather calmly. But if I take, in our movie, The Godmakers, we have an 8-minute animation in which we go through what we call the law of eternal progression and take it from the beginning to the Mormons being gods and goddesses in the end. And Mormons just freak out with that little 8-minute shot because they don't put it together. They can deal in their minds with segments. Jesus being created through an act of sex between God and Mary, you know, and they look at that and they kind of shudder at you when you say that. They say, well, he was born of a virgin, but you believe that God had physical relations with Mary. How could she be a virgin? And they say, well, she was a virgin when God had sex with her. Well, God is really her father from Kolob, so he came down and had sex with a daughter. In a sensuous sexual relationship with a daughter to create Jesus. You know, does that sound right to you? And they can't grasp it. Now, I've seen tens of thousands of Mormons saved, but I've talked to hundreds of thousands of Mormons.
Where did Lucifer come from?
Where did Lucifer come from?
Right.
He was one of the elder brothers, and he and Jesus went to the Council of the Gods in our pre-existent life and presented plans for this earth. And Lucifer gave a plan that he would control everybody and make them obey, and they would all become gods. And Jesus said, no, we have to give them free agency. And there was a vote in the Council of God, the Council of Heaven, and they voted on Jesus' plan.
Hold that thought. Okay, fine. In other words, Jesus wanted people to have free agency, and Lucifer wanted to make them all gods. Was that it?
Yeah, but he wanted to force them to do it, take away their free agency.
I see.
And then they said, no, you can't do that. We vote for Jesus' plan. And it was a fairly close vote, I would imagine, because one-third of all the non-bodied brothers and sisters of ours rebelled with Lucifer against the vote, and so there was a big battle in heaven in Kolob, and those that fought with Jesus became the white and delightsome people. Those that fought with Lucifer were cast out with him, and they became the demons on earth. These are our brothers and sisters who are actual demons now on the earth, and those who wouldn't get involved became the black race.
Well, then, of course, what's this idea, then, that you are actually, when you have your underwear, you have Lucifer's symbols on it? I mean, if Lucifer was the bad guy in this, why would you be wearing underwear that has his symbols?
Hello? That's my question. It just kind of, you see, some of they've made some changes to the Mormon temple ritual. I think it was in 1990-something they made some changes, and the actual changes that they made came right out of the things that we were pointing out in the God Makers and the Temple of God Makers and in the God Maker book, well, you know, in the movies and the book. And these changes, we would say, you know, you're crying out, oh, marvelous Lucifer, you know, at the altar, and because you're crying out, oh, marvelous God, and Lucifer appears and speaks to you, you summoned him up. So that's what it must mean. So they took that out. Everything we said, they would clean it up and take it out, taken out the blood oaths. They've taken out so much of the temple ritual, it's not the same temple ritual anymore, but it's still the same demonic doctrine of demons. And Lucifer is the instructor of correct Mormon theology in the temple.
You would think that they might begin to get a little uneasy having Lucifer there in the temple and the curse wearing his symbols on their underwear.
Well, they don't... See, because they're spiritually blind... I, you know, it's like when I'm down in the Washington anointing room and I'm naked and I've got a little syrupy thing over my, you know, front and back, and I got air on the sides, and they're washing my body parts and anointing me with water and oil and consecrating me and all that sort of stuff. I think somehow or other there is a spiritual darkness, and something binds your mind in that particular process. Then you go on upstairs there, and the next thing you know, you're putting on a fig leaf apron as a sacred covering in the temple, even though the Bible says that God rejects it. But the Mormons are buried in it when they die. The worthy Mormons are buried in it with the apron, the fig leaf apron that God rejects. It's a complete 180, Dr. Stan. And we go through the temple ritual, it's this wonderful ethereal thing, and we just feel so wonderful. We've gone through several levels of interviews and, you know, years of work to become worthy enough to earn the right to go to the temple, and we get in there, and these things kind of slide by us. We're forbidden to talk about it outside the temple, and if you try to discuss it with a bishop or somebody, they just tell you to shut up right now. You're violating a sacred thing. You can't discuss it, so it's all secret. Even amongst the Mormons, it's secret. You can't talk about it.
Well, I think, you know, it's really one of the great tragedies that so many good people are blinded. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Ed Decker, who's spent many years trying to reach Mormons and Masons and point out, of course, that this is really a satanic religion, and people find that hard to believe. I mean, who'd want to believe in Satan or Lucifer? I mean, after all, these people worship God. But the thing is, they worship a different God. I mean, the Mason believes in Jabalah, and of course, the Baal in the middle of that is for Baal, who's Satan. In fact, it's very, Ed is in a DVD that we carry called Riddles in Stone, where they actually have one of the Masonic apologists trying to explain why they have the name of Baal in the middle of their God, the great architect of the universe. What did you think of that explanation?
I think sorry.
No, that was really, that is a great DVD, don't you think?
I think it's a wonderful DVD, and it was kind of interesting when we did the DVD because I had just was in the middle of recovering from a stroke when I did it, and it was catch as catch can, and I'm delighted that Chris, the fellow who did the job, he did a wonderful job, and we wholeheartedly endorse that video because it really lets you explain what's happening. You know, when the streets of Washington, D.C. are drawn up in occult fashion and the same square compass and rule of Freemasonry are go right through the Capitol building, right through the White House, right on up to the House of the Temple, the Masonic headquarters there on 16th. When you see these all done, the same markings that are on my Mormon underwear, the same markings that Lucifer wears in the Mormon temple, the same markings that are on the celestial veil in the Mormon temple, the same markings that are on every Masonic apron that you know of any power and authority, and the same markings that are drawn and are cut into the very streets of Washington, D.C. Something needs to be said about it.
Well, it was the first time I'd ever seen a picture of you. Play a small part in that, but I felt that I've known you for so many years.
Yeah,
we've
never
met, and so we have to meet in this.
We kind of think that we're like in our 30s somewhere, you know, and then and you get an actual picture of me, and you find out I'm 72 years old, and look like, you know, God has smote me with a.
Well, I think he's preserved you pretty well because he's got a lot more work you're going to have to do, Ed. In fact, we've got to reach people out across America and make them understand.
Well, I feel that way, too.
Anderson, Ed's been on the front lines of this battle for a long period of time.
But I am going to retire when I'm 95, whether anybody likes it or not.
Well, that gives you another 33 years.
Yeah.
Not 23 years. Anyway, of course, when we get back here, if you'd like to give us a call, you have a question for Ed, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, isn't he, Mitt Romney's a very handsome gentleman. I mean, he presents himself very well. Of course, I've always felt that. I mean, he's collecting really more money than anybody else, at least the Republican side. So I figure it has to be money coming from the wealthy, from the Mormon Church, which is really very wealthy because they would like to have one of their members as the President of the United States. Do you think there's any chance it could happen?
No. Not in reality. But I say that guardedly. That enthusiastic no comes with some guarded. Could be. There are people in the Christian community would have to vote for him, but we have people like Pat Robertson. Dr. Lou Sheldon now is fully endorsing him.
How can Lou Sheldon endorse, I know Lou, I believe he loves the Lord. Why would he endorse a Mormon?
He says they've got some quirks, but this man is a conservative. He has the same values that we have, and so forth. Then I heard, and I was trying to get some documentation on it before we came on air tonight. And Jay Sekulow is another guy that I understand he's actually going to be working on his committee.
We live in a world gone mad, and there are only a few of us who are still sane, and a lot of people think we're crazy.
A lot of people do.
But we have to do what's right, and our job is to try to get the information out. It's up to your job to check it out, find if it's true, and if it is, then of course to join us. Because behind all of this, when we talk about politics, but this isn't a political battle.
This isn't.
It's a spiritual battle.
It has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with a spiritual battle that is operating on a political level right
amen
now.
Amen to that. Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment and welcome your calls here. Radio Liberty. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Ed Decker, and certainly Ed is one of our experts, our resident expert on both Mormonism and Masonry, and because we're talking about Mitt Romney's candidacy. Mitt is a very attractive candidate. He's got a lot of money behind him. He presents himself very well. He's got a great-looking family and a lot of great kids and a very, very attractive wife. And, you know, if I was just simply looking at a candidate without considering the spiritual implications, I mean, I'd be very attracted to Mitt Romney. At least he holds, traditional values. And, of course, you put him up against Giuliani. As somebody once said, Giuliani says, when he says something, he really means it. If you don't believe that, ask one of his three wives. And then, of course, we've got John McCain, who is we will not get too much into many of the candidates here tonight, but, I mean, certainly nobody that I see running on the Republican side seems to be worthy of our support. We've got Fred Thompson. We don't know too much bad about Fred Thompson, other than the fact that we know that he is being run by the establishment. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They've been keeping him before the public. They have a law and order. They fired the fellow who was the district attorney there before, so they could put Fred Thompson on, so they could keep him before us. Fred Thompson apparently is a globalist. So if you look down the line, there's nobody there that certainly I would be attracted to. Mitt Romney is, purely from a candidate's point of view, is very attractive. But you have to realize the spiritual implications of that. Well, do you have any comment before we go? We have a caller from Ottawa.
Well, I just wanted to say, that because he has this conservative look, he could very easily become the vice president. And then, of course, if you're dealing in that scenario and the president dies, then you automatically have Mitt Romney coming in through the side door. And that is a very plausible scenario, and it's not something that the Mormons haven't thought about as well. As a Mormon, we've discussed things like that in the priesthood meetings. So.
All right, fine. Well, let's see if this is Mike. Is this Mike from Ottawa?
Yes.
All right, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to mention what I've heard that a large percentage of the CIA is made up of Mormons.
Oh, absolutely.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this evening is Ed Decker. And before we go on at this time of the program, we always ask our guest to get his website out or telephone number or information he'd like to you to have about his ministry. So, Ed and Mike.
Well, that's a good opportunity, Dr. Stan. I have a website that's saintsalive.com, one word, www.saintsalive.com. And if you go to my online book that I've been putting up chapter by chapter, I think it's chapter 12 called The Mormon Plan for America and the Rise of Mitt Romney. And everything that I'm talking about tonight is available for free, 30-some pages of documentation that you're welcome to download and use any way you want to.
Right.
It's saintsalive.com.
All right, fine. That's saintsalive.com. And is there a telephone number you want to put out?
No, I prefer not a telephone number because I'm traveling so much and that the calls don't get answered the way they need to. So
you
can reach me by email. I answer all my emails. So.
All right. The email will be up on the webpage. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. Well, Mike, did you have anything else? Now, Mike's calling from Ottawa. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, I've heard that the CIA has a high percentage of Mormons. I heard that the FBI was formed with the core group of Mormons at the time of its formation. I kind of want to pass a thought by you about that. I think that if you think about it, how can a soldier who's sent into the theater of war and forced to kill several people, how can he live by the Christian tenets of thou shalt not kill, the Ten Commandments? And when you think about it, these people who are charged with carrying out the dirty deeds of the CIA, cutthroat business at best. Wouldn't that be attractive to go and find a spirituality, a religion that would tell you that thou shalt not kill does not apply?
Let's get Ed's response. I think those are very good points.
Well, first off, and when you're dealing with Mormonism, you've got to realize that the Mormons have trained up 50, 60,000 young men and women every 2 years. There's that many Mormon missionaries around the world. So many of these young missionaries are college trained. They have an education in the street level education of the country they're going to. They speak the language. They move freely amongst the people. I was involved in an issue down in Chile a number of years ago, and I was in Chile, and there was 2,000 Mormon missionaries, and they were operating as amongst the Mormon missionaries. There were CIA operatives moving about. One of my sons was actually a Mormon missionary in Chile at the time, and we discussed some of these issues. When we began to reveal on national television this tie-in with the American CIA, about 1,800 more missionaries got on the next boat home and got out of town because what we were saying was true. They recruit them because they have that innocent-looking ability. They travel freely in these nations. They speak the language. They're easily kind of hidden within the people themselves, and they go and recruit these people, actually, yet bring them in university. There's a recruitment program for the FBI, CIA, and the Secret Service.
Interesting. That, and the the expert on World Trade Center, the engineer there, what's his name?
Stephen Jones.
Stephen Jones. He's from Brigham Young. I'm not sure if he's a practicing Mormon, but
well, interesting. If he's a Brigham Young boy, you can assume he is.
All right, but I think he's a very sincere individual. I mean, I don't question his integrity. I think he's a very brave individual to have spoken out on this. But the thing is, I think that the CIA and the FBI wants them because they're patriotic. They really do care about America because their religion teaches them to care about America. I wish that the Protestant and Catholic Church would do as good a job of raising people up to believe in the importance of this country in preserving our way of life. And they're usually very honest. And if they make a pledge, a swear to an oath of secrecy, they will be very loath to break it. Would you agree with that, Ed, that this may be why the
but you can be sincerely wrong. I mean,
no question.
And so being sincere isn't a biblical test of truth.
No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying why the CIA would want them.
Well, they want them because they're obedient.
Right.
Well, another aspect.
They take an order, and he says, let's say the order is you kill this guy. They just go kill the guy. It's not a question. They are trained to be obedient. They are trained to follow the orders of their leaders, and they do it without question. And those are the most. They're perfect for the CIA.
Yes, and then another aspect of that is the occult spirituality, whereas, like I said, you're not restrained by thou shalt not kill. And also, you're born into a Masonic family, which is an element if you're up, your upbringing from the origin is into this cult culture.
Mm-hmm. And please remember that J. Edgar Hoover himself is a 33rd degree Mason and deeply involved in the occult.
And talking about that, I come out of a Masonic family. I was raised in Masonry until I left my family and I joined the Mormon Church, much to everybody's horror that I became a Mormon. And my father disowned me for 2 years, wouldn't speak to me at all because of that. Because I had, defiled. At that time, the Mormons were forbidden to be Masons. The Masons were forbidden to be Mormons, and the reason for it was very simple. The reason was that if you were a Mason and you became a Mormon, you would see that you were using Masonic ritual, not something that God gave you, but somebody that Albert Pike, helped put together. So a little bit different.
Well, an interesting thought that I had too is that if you were to order the death of somebody, can you imagine the weight of things like this on your conscience, if you have one. But I would imagine that wouldn't it be a salve to your conscience to actually make it a spiritual act, like a ritual, to make the killing a CIA hit or a mafia hit, same thing as far as I'm concerned, but to make that a ritual so that not only are you taking a life, but you're actually performing something that is of sustenance to you spiritually. Rather than you're sneaking around, you're doing something below the law. No, it's the opposite. You take it and you turn it right around. And it's like you were saying, everything gets turned upside down. Everything is completely opposite. You know,
and that's the whole problem. And you know, when you're dealing with Mormonism, because stuff that you know that you would normally think would be something that would be forbidden to a Christian. Now, there are things that you know I would do as a Mormon. I don't say we did without conscience. We were gods in embryo, and we had that power and authority. That comes from being men who are on the path to godhood, and so in business, there's so many stories about people in business who went into business because the Mormons are nice people. They look good, they smell good, they talk good, and you get involved with them in business and find out that you know that has nothing to do with what's going to happen to you in business with these people. They're going to take advantage of you in every way they want to, and it's not outside their realm of theology.
Well, I don't just think, of course, that they, when, for instance, you're working with the CIA, and if you're told to kill somebody, it is because you know you're being patriotic. This man is a traitor to America, and so if you love America, it's all right to do it. Now, I don't think that, of course, the CIA. You know, has their people do the killing here in the United States. I think they hire the mafia to do that. And many times I think they hire professional hitmen from other countries. But somebody has to give the orders. That's the thing. And whether it be killing Osama bin Laden or whether it be killing, a patriotic individual who knew something about the Kennedy assassination, they could justify this because it's important, you know, it's a patriotic thing to do. We got to get rid of a traitor.
And, yeah, and they look at it, the Mormons are taught, in fact, it's a word to the church continually throughout its history, is that when your leaders have spoken, the thinking is done. You do it, whether it's right or wrong, you do it. Your responsibility is to be obedient to your leader, not think about what he's saying.
Oh, I think that's probably the good response. Is anything else you want to say, Mike, before we let you go?
Yeah, just quickly, I believe there's an element of domestic terrorism to a lot of these serial killers that turn out to be, on the surface at least, until we've proven it, turn out to be MK-Ultra projects.
And, another book called Program to Kill, which we also carry.
Yeah, BTK, it was the BTK killer and Burdella, Robert Burdella, who both operated in the that Midwestern area. They operated in Mormon country. The Burdella was in Kansas City, and BTK was nearby. He was
That's really a subject for another program, but thanks so much for calling. And of course, let's go to Linda, who's calling from Minnesota. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Linda, how are you doing?
Hello, Stan. Dr. Stan, I've listened to you for a long time now, and I'm very patriotic to my country, and so maybe after... I don't know for sure what I'm going to say, but I'm very disappointed in you tonight that you would have Ed Decker on. I know who this man is. I'm a Latter-day Saint, and I get much of my information from you.
Right.
And, of course, I try to give out information all the time to try to wake up people to the awful situation that we are in as a country. I guess mainly what I want to say is that as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I am not voting for Mitt Romney because he is not a standard for what a Mormon is. or what a Latter-day Saint should be.
But he's a high priest. I mean, he's...
Well, so what, sir?
Well, I mean, he's been in the temple. He wears
so,
his temple garments.
So
what?
So what?
All right, I think let Linda go ahead and say... Go ahead,
he's
Linda.
He's not living Heavenly Father's commandments either.
All right,
I, as a Latter-day Saint who have read the prophecies and know what's coming upon this world... know that this man has been deceived. He's being controlled by the Council on Foreign Relations. And the Council on Foreign Relations has got Catholics and Protestants and Lutherans and Episcopalians and you name it. And maybe there's a few Latter-day Saints mixed in there, too.
I'm sure there
are. All of us are in this together, Stan. I, as a Christian who believe in Jesus Christ, who is coming soon and setting up his millennium and to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords upon this earth. I am one of his daughters, and I plan on being there in the millennium, just like you do, Stan.
I know you do, Linda.
Okay.
And
so, you know, this thing about the Macy, you know, I've done research about it. It goes way back to Solomon's Temple. And you know for yourself, Stan, over the centuries, when the Lord has given something to a people, in other words, the zodiac was given to Seth, the son of Noah, which is today used for fortune telling and so forth. Over the centuries, these things that the Lord has given to his people have been corrupted by evil people. So these symbols that are in the temple are very, very sacred, and I do not appreciate Rod Decker or Ed Decker. I guess Rod Decker is his brother. He interviewed me once up at the Capitol in Salt Lake City.
I don't think Rod is his brother.
Well, I don't know how they're related, but anyway, they're all in cahoots together. I lived in Utah for 30 years. And the persecution that goes on there is unbelievable, and the hatred toward the Latter-day Saints. And one night I couldn't believe it. I was listening to the radio, and a woman had come out of the Salt Lake Temple who had been in the temple working that night, and they found her dead in the parking lot with a broom up her...
We don't have to.
This is the kind of thing that goes on, murders and things to Latter-day Saints. And it is brushed under the rug in the news media. But if a Latter-day Saint does something wrong, it's all over the news media.
All right,
yes, Latter-day Saints sin because we're all sinners. We all make mistakes.
All right,
I'm in this just like you are, Dr. Stan Monteith, and I'm trying to do the same thing that you're doing, and that is to warn my neighbor that the Savior's coming soon, and that this country, the Lord said that whoever lives here upon this promised land, which is the land of milk and honey, this is Zion, he said, if you do not serve the God of this land, who is Jesus Christ, I will sweep you off the land.
Right,
and that's
Linda,
exactly what he's going to do.
God bless. Thanks very much for calling, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. And have any parting thoughts there?
Well, I'm not going to go anywhere near that. That was an emotional thing, and there's about 25 things that
I would have comments
on, but she
feels very deeply about America, and so many of the Mormons are very patriotic and very concerned about many of the things we are concerned about. If you had one thing that you'd like to suggest that might help her, what would it be? I mean, would it be your movie, The Godmakers?
No, I think she should just read the Book of John and then decide, you know, how she's going to become a goddess in her next life.
With the book, the Gospel of John.
You know, that's the best anti-Mormon book that's out, is the Gospel of John.
All right, fine.
It talks about the simplicity of the gospel, who Jesus is, that he was God who came in the flesh.
All right,
very, very clear. The Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word has become flesh. And we understand that the Jesus of Mormonism is not that Jesus.
Right, I think, you know, it's very interesting that you would suggest that, because, you know, when I, you know, come across somebody and because they hate Christianity, and I simply tell them, well, read the Gospel of John. I mean, I think this is the best place to start. And the fact that you would come up with the same suggestion, having been at this for a long time, you know, is a very interesting observation.
Well, you know, I spend more and more of my time, and it's funny about she, how she described me as sort of this evil man. I was invited about a month or so ago to a radio show in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was a Mormon host on a Mormon-owned radio station and Mormon programming. And the guy chatted with me before he went on the air and said, we really want to have you on, and we're kind of prepared for you. You're the nemesis, and we're going to, you know, if you don't mind, we're just going to go right at you. And I said, you know, have a go. And then he introduced me, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to invite, you know, this is Ed Decker coming on today, and we want you to know that he's the most hated man in Utah. And so we went at it for about a half an hour, and then took a station break.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
You go right ahead, Ed.
He said, he came back and he said, actually, we want to clarify, having said that you are the most hated man in Utah, he said, you are the most hated man throughout the world of Mormonism, across the entire globe, you're the most hated. And then a couple more people came on. It was a call-in show. And then three calls in a row. One guy came on, and he said, I'm a returned Mormon missionary, and I want to talk to Ed Decker. And so he came on, and they were real happy for him. And then he said the reason I wanted to talk to him was that every time I knocked on the door on my mission, I'd run into people who would throw this guy up at me. I finally got home, and I decided that I'm going to prove this guy to be the liar that he is. And he said, I went through everything you ever said, and you know what? You didn't tell a lie. He said, I'm out of the church. I'm a born-again Christian now. And so I had two more just like that, and then they cut me off. it was fun. I'm just a guy who was lost, and I got saved, and I spend the rest of my life trying to tell other people about the real Jesus, not the Jesus who is our elder brother who points the way, not the Jesus who suffered for our sins by sweating in the Garden of Gethsemane, but not the Jesus who died on the cross so that we could be physically resurrected to be judged for our works, not the brother of Lucifer, but God who came in the flesh.
And I really think, of course, the book of John is a wonderful place to begin the Odyssey to understanding what Christianity is all about.
That's right.
For I am the way and the truth and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but through me.
You know, the other problem that we have, Pat, Dr. Stan, is that the words in Mormonism are the same words, but they have different meanings. And so, as the lady, and I appreciate her call, and I'm sorry that I offend her, talking about, the Bible talks about wounding truths, you know. But I appreciate the sincerity and her courage and her strength of saying it. But when she was talking, she was saying words that to the average Christian would mean something good, but in Mormonism it has a different meaning. You know, she was talking about him coming to this world, this is Zion here on the earth. They believe the Garden of Eden is in the United States, and they believe that he's going to reign here in Independence, Missouri, for his millennial reign, and they're going to be doing the genealogy, and the lost tribes of Israel are going to march down from the North Pole area and bring their genealogy down, and so many different things that tie in to the end times and how the Kingdom of God or the United Order will be reinstituted.
Well, we're out of time, Ed. We could go on for many hours, but thank you so much for being with us.
Well,
it's always
a pleasure. I'll come again, and I appreciate the time, Pat. I keep trying to call you Pastor Stan, but
a plain old Stan.
You're a radio pastor for sure, Dr. Stan.
Good night, and God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly a retired orthopedic surgeon, not a pastor at all. But I really believe in the biblical story. I believe, of course, that we are put here to serve the Lord. That's what it's all about. And, of course, we have to know which Lord we serve. Anyway, let me suggest that if you do have any question at all about Christianity, read the book of John and read it through several times. And understand that this is the very foundation of Christendom today. Well, this is the time I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and sometimes we may put on programs you'll disagree with, but, I mean, I have to put on things from all sides, and sometimes I even get people on from the Council on Foreign Relations that I disagree with, but I want you to hear what they have to say. In fact, I had one fellow on from the Gnostic Templars. Oh, my goodness, did I get a lot of flack for that? But I want you to hear that, and we're trying to teach you to begin to think on your own so that when I'm not here, you're going to be able to think without me. And one of the great pleasures I have is when we have people calling on, and we have a difficult questions coming up, and the callers know the answers. They don't need me anymore. That's what we're really working for, to educate you so you can educate others. Well, we hope many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and if you do, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. To understand so much of what's going on today, we carry books like Carol Matriciana's actually DVD on yoga, The Serpent Uncoiled, on Harry Potter, exposing Harry Potter, on exposing what's going on in Hollywood, what's happening as far as the spiritual warfare. All of these are DVDs or VHSs by Carol Matriciana that go into this very real spiritual battle that's being fought today. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. The things that we really recommend would be my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, Forbidden Secret, the DVD put out by Chris Pinto, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and the one that has that decorated entitled Riddles in Stone. And then, of course, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 5-hour version, because it goes into how many of our musicians have actually sold their souls to the devil, and they prospered with it, but, of course, only for a time. You must understand the spiritual nature of the battle. So the other material that we have here, we have the DVD, our VHS by Constance Cumby, called The Emergence. There is a new world leader coming, and it's only a matter of time before he appears within our vision. And you must understand who he is. He is Lucifer. And, of course, Constance has done a wonderful job on that. We have a 4-tape set by Constance Cumby. We have the DVD by Constance Cumby. And we recommend the two. It's called The Emergence. So much material. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. And you can actually go to the part on it talks about videos. And we'll take you over to our web page where many of our videos can be seen for nothing. We hope you'll want to get them, but if not, you can see them there, and then we hope that you'll want to get them. If not, we recommend other people go to our web page and become informed about what this is about, the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.